We sure appreciate an interest in your prayers this evening. The title of my message this evening is to man up. And the Lord gave that to me a few days back, and I hope it will be a blessing to us. We spoke a little bit last night about how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and a nation was born and brought forth, and God wrought mighty miracles to bring that new birth about. But then it wasn't over with then. They were to enter into the land of Canaan. And I want to notice just a few scriptures in Joshua. Moses had passed away, and Joshua was getting ready to lead them. And it's interesting to note how many times the Lord instructed him to be strong and of good courage. In verse 5, chapter 1, he said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The Lord really tried to encourage them greatly because he knew that there were some battles in front of them. He knew that there were some strong cities, there was some conflict, and he wanted them to enter into the land to be strong and of good courage. Now, in our generation, we're not interested in a literal land of Canaan or a physical place, but to us, it represents spiritual ground that God has given to us for an inheritance that belongs to us. I know sometimes the land of Canaan is likened unto sanctification, but I want to make comment that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which I believe we believe we need, and we believe in that, but that's not an end. That's a beginning. That's the equipping of the Lord to help us in our battles. And there is ground that through the way many times the things that have happened to us in our youth and the wounds and the things that we've experienced in life, there's ground, a spiritual maturity that God wants us to be able to get a hold of and grow, that we can be complete in him, that we can be what he's calling us to be and fill the place that he wants us to fill. I want to notice another verse in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, it said, "He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We know when the Lord was leading them by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that they came into some real difficult places. They came into a place once where there was no water. They came into another place where the waters were bitter. And it was not any fault of their own, but it was the Lord was leading them. But the purpose was, he says here, that he might make thee to know that you can't live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, he wanted them to know how much they were dependent upon his help and upon his blessing. And I want to say tonight, all this hinges upon our connection to Christ, our personal relationship, personal walk with him. The ground that we possess spiritually, that we gain, hinges on our connection to Christ, our obedience, our submission to him, our yielding to him. And we are very dependent upon the Lord's help in all these, in the areas that he leads us. In one place he mentioned, he said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. They came into hard places back then, and we come into hard places now in our life. But it's to help us to recognize that we need the Lord's help, that we need his blessing. I want to share an experience the other day that I received some personal criticism, and it wasn't bad. It came in a good way. But the enemy came in with it also. I began to look at the areas in my life where I'd failed. And it seemed like darkness and disappointments began to close in around me. It pretty much paralyzed me for a good part of the day. I prayed and prayed, and it just seemed like it was enshrouding in on me. I remember I started feeling pain in my chest, a tightness, and I thought, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm ready to go, now would be a good time. I was ready to check out. Have you ever been there? Yes. I struggled with that for quite a while, quite a number of hours, feeling pretty defeated, disappointed. I decided later to go for a walk. I went on my walk, I enjoy my walks. I talk to the Lord and pray a lot on my walks, and the Lord's met me many times on my walks. And he did this time also. When I came around the corner where I usually go, the Lord had Jim waiting on me. And Jim was my neighbor. And I've enjoyed getting to know him. He's an older man, and he doesn't have a testimony or a profession. But he's told me a lot about my family, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, on both sides of my family, stories that I'd never heard. because he lived in that area all of his life. But anyway, the Lord had him waiting there, and he didn't know that. And he didn't understand what all was in, what was transpiring in my heart. But I noticed there was others that have felt that way. Remember Elijah, when he gained a big victory over the prophets of Baal, it wasn't long after that that Jezebel threatened him, and he was on the run, hiding in the cave, and he told the Lord it was enough. And he was ready to go on. He probably, I don't really know all of Elijah's thoughts, but he probably felt discouraged with his failure. And after the big victory he had, he probably thought, what will the people think now? I've had a great victory, and then I'm running from a Queen Jezebel. But anyway, he felt like it was enough. Jonah also came to my mind. Book of Jonah. Remember, the Lord called him to preach to Nineveh, and he didn't want to do that. And the Lord, I'm so thankful today that the Lord knows where we're at in our minds and our understanding, and he's willing to work with us in our humanity. And we understand that Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. But I want to read in Jonah, the third chapter, and this was the response, Jonah 3 and 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, Jonah, in verse 5, it says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah, he didn't see and comprehend what was taking place in the city. He was out there sitting waiting for the fireworks to go off, and he was disappointed. But his message, the people received it. They repented and they turned, and God blessed. I don't know. There wouldn't be much more success than that. That would be a wonderful thing to see a whole city repent, turn to God, put away their evil doings, and seek the Lord. I would call that a very successful message. But Jonah didn't see that. What I wanted to get here is that in verse 2, he said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Well, I'm thankful tonight that the Lord's that way. He is very gracious, kind, repents of the evil many times when people turn their hearts back towards him. But Jonah said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, I know Jonah didn't have the right attitude here, but he had some hurts in his life. He had some things that he was struggling with. And we read the scripture talking about the land of Canaan being strong and being of good courage, because spiritual battles sometimes are really intense and fierce. Sometimes they can affect us deeply in our emotions and our physical strength and our ability to navigate. And the Lord gave Jonah an object lesson while he was there. And that was encouraging also, how he prepared the gourd. In verse 6, it said, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So here the Lord was trying to get a lesson across to Jonah. And I believe the Lord works that way in our lives too. Many times, he'll cause things to happen in our physical world around us to help us to get a spiritual lesson. What he's trying to get over to us, many times he'll use the physical things around about us to help us to recognize his workings. So I know when we're in a battle, when we're in a conflict in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, sometimes we're agonizing to know what the will of God is and what his mind and heart is. But I want to encourage us to, when we're in those times, to be patient and to keep looking to God and looking for the message, looking for the answer, because I believe with all of my heart this evening that the Lord has the answers that we need. He has the answers to meet every problem, every situation, every difficulty that we might experience in life. God has the answers for us. And the Lord did that for me that day with Jim. I sat there and I conversed with him for probably about an hour and a half. And he said some things. The Lord, even though he doesn't have a testimony, the Lord used him to speak to me. And the message was, I want you to man up. Man up. That was the message. And began to thank the Lord because it was exactly what I was wanting to go on. I just felt that. I thought, Lord, a heart attack would be great. Make it real quick, painful, less painful, quick, and I'm out of here and I can be with you and I can get out of some of these troubles down here. Well, the Lord didn't answer prayer quite like I wanted him to. I'm still here. I guess he has things that he wants us to do. But I believe we need to be open to looking to God and have a quietness in our heart and our spirit too. I notice sometimes when I'm in deep sorrow or trouble or difficulty, many times I don't really get anything right at the time until I'm able to really quiet down. And I thought about that verse so many times. It says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, sometimes when we're in trouble and we're just like the children of Israel were when there was no water, when they were going to, you know, they had to have water to survive. They were in a close place. But he said, be still and know that I am God. And I know if we can quiet our hearts, and that's not always easy, to be able to still our minds when the enemy can come in like a flood and rage against our heart, our mind, our spirit. But the Lord can use all kinds of things in our life around us, in our circumstances, and we want to be open and receptive to be able to receive what he has for us. I want to talk to us just a little bit about criticism. I feel like criticism is a very important thing in our lives. I don't think it's a thing that we like very well. But it's very important for us to be able to listen to criticism. I think about the verse in Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Another scripture talked about iron sharpens iron. You know, when there's iron rubbing against iron, there's conflict, there's friction. I used to always think that conflict was always wrong, always bad. But I don't think that way anymore. I realize there are some good things that come when iron is sharpening iron. When there's some friction, when there's some heat involved. And if we don't know how to receive and stay in there, there's many different things that we can develop in our lives of running from our difficulties. You know, if someone criticizes, we can, you know, look at their faults and say, you know, what about you? We can ignore them. We can blame other people. We can do all kinds of things that are really unproductive. And we don't get sharpened. We don't get the sharpening that we need in our lives. And we need that. We need criticism. We need input from others in our lives. And I believe God has ordained the fellowship and the body of Christ to be that way. I appreciate the Lord when he dealt with the congregations there in Revelation. He told them their good points. And then he told them the areas that they were lacking in. And I want to say that about criticism. When we receive criticism, it doesn't mean that we're all totally bad. It doesn't mean that our life is a total failure. It just means that there are some areas that I probably need to work on and to address in my life. But if we get into a habit of just running from conflict or just avoiding all conflict and with our excuses and our reasonings, we don't bring it before God and ask God to help us to see ourselves and help us to recognize our need in this situation, then we many times will fail to receive in the areas that we need to receive. So criticism is important for us, and we don't want to be afraid to be able to receive it. Now, there's a scripture that says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and his bars are like the contentions are like the, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. In our lives, we need. I'll try to bring it out this way. We need walls. Just like in the Old Testament, the city had walls. They had boundaries that God gave to them. And the walls were a protection. But it says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. That's somebody that's been hurt, somebody that's been bruised, somebody that's been offended. They put barriers in their life. They put walls there. And I want to say walls are good to a certain extent, but we need a gate. We need a gate to be able to allow people to come in and go out of our city. We don't want just all walls. I want walls, but I need a gate where I can have close relationships with people. If I just isolate myself to myself, and that's another thing that happens. That's another, when we've been hurt, we've been offended. Sometimes there's a tendency to just withdraw, you know, let the world go on and I'll do my own thing. That's a dangerous pattern. That's a dangerous conclusion to come to. We want to have walls, but we want to have a gate that I can let down and let people into my life. Another scripture said, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. There are some people that have been so hurt in life and so bruised that there's nothing there. It's just like anybody can go through and take whatever they want, and that's not good. So the Lord wants us, and I think about how they were commanded when they went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. It was just total chaos. The bricks were just laying everywhere, and you know, sometimes people, our lives sometimes feels like that. It feels like maybe there's been a great battle, a great war, and there's pieces laying everywhere, and sometimes it just looks overwhelming. We don't know where to start. And that's the way they felt when they went back to Jerusalem. They felt overwhelmed. They didn't know where to start. When Nehemiah went out at night with his beast, it was hard to even find a path to walk. There was so much destruction. And our world around us is a lot that way today. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start. But they began to build little by little and put one stone up on another stone, and pretty soon things just little by little began to, with God's blessing and help and shape. And I believe the Lord can help us in our lives to be able to build good walls where we're able to say no, or we're able to say yes. You know, we're able to have those connections in our life. Those of you that are married, I'll ask you a question. You don't have to push unmute and answer it. But how long did it take for you to realize that marriage wasn't all peaches and cream? Someone said a few days. Well, I want to say I believed I was saved. I believe I was sanctified. I believe I had God blessing me in my life. But I still didn't understand a lot of the needs and a lot of places in my life where I lacked and had needs. It didn't mean that I wasn't saved and I didn't have God with me. But there were some real needs of my past that affected me. One of those in me was, I've been trying to be more vulnerable in my life and my relationships. But one of them was communication. I grew up as a child. I was pretty much on my own. My mom and dad divorced when I was real young, and my mom had several marriages after that, but I knew they weren't there for me. So I went through a big part of my growing up years to myself. I played a lot out in the neighborhood, and when I look back in my childhood and youth, I don't remember any close conversations that I had with my family. And that makes it, sometimes that makes it real difficult when we haven't had that emotional contact, and that where you're able to really open up and share your heart and your feelings. There's different levels of conversation. If you'll notice, sometimes people, you know, we tend to talk about the facts. We talk about the news. We talk about the things that are going on in the world around us. That's a surface level. But to be able to get closer in a relationship, we must be willing to open our heart and begin to share our thoughts and our feelings, how we're feeling and our perceptions and the things that are affecting us. And if we don't, and it's a skill that we have to learn. I believe the Lord wants to teach us to learn that skill. And I believe, you know, a lot of times the concept of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, it's, you know, it's not just a button that we touch and everything's okay now. But it's when the Lord begins to instruct us how to face our weaknesses, those things that we struggle with, how to be able to open up and communicate to other people, especially to our spouses. I think sometimes it runs more in the male, the male side more. I noticed men have a weakness in asking for directions. I don't know if you've had that, but I've had that. You know, when you buy something at the store and it requires assembly, how many of us grab the direction and say, "This is where I'm starting at"? We usually don't do that. We usually toss that aside and think, "We're going to figure this out." And after it taking about two or three times longer than it should, then we go back and say, "Where's those directions at?" Well, we do that sometimes spiritually. And one scripture talked about my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need knowledge in every area of our life. We need instruction. And a lot of times it's hard for us as men to ask for counsel or ask for instruction or to express that we have a need. But those things are very important for us because our companion doesn't always know that. We can't assume that people know what's going on inside of us. And I know sometimes it can feel like you're in a little bit of a prison if you're not able to express yourself like you would like to. But I believe it's very valuable for us to be able to open up and ask the Lord how we're doing. And to be able to have relationships in our life that we're able to open our hearts completely. Now I want to say this about husband-wife relationships. I feel like we need to be willing to talk about anything and everything. I know sometimes it makes us feel uncomfortable. We feel a little awkward. But if we're going to be successful in our homes, our marriages, and in life, everything requires knowledge and skill. And the more we learn the skill of being able to communicate what's happening inside, and to find out what's happening in this inside of others, the stronger and better our relationships are going to be. I was challenged. I heard a guy bring out the comment about asking our wives how we're doing as a husband in our marriage. And he brought it out on a scale of 1 to 10. Wife, how am I doing? On a scale of 1 to 10. He mentioned men usually rate themselves higher than the wife does. But I want us to... That's a little scary. To open ourselves up and to say, how am I doing? What am I doing in our relationship that you like? What am I doing in the relationship that you don't like? And how can we improve it? How can we make our home more successful? How can we make it closer and tighter knit? And I believe if we're able to ask those kinds of questions and become that vulnerable and open. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes criticism is difficult to swallow. But if we'll receive it, if think about it, pray about it, and ask the Lord to help us. This is where I believe that God has answers for all the difficulties and battles that we face in life. It doesn't matter the way that we were raised and the things that we suffered, we can overcome. God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe the promise is there for us also to have a successful, a victorious life. But I dropped out earlier in that question about marriage being all peaches and cream. There have been times that I didn't know how we were going to make it. There was difficulties. There were obstacles that, and I've had my wife come to me different times, said, we need to talk. You know what that means? Lord, help us at those times to be willing to man up and to be open and to be honest. And I believe it's that way with our feelings too. If we're struggling, you know, sometimes there's a temptation to just say, everything's fine, everything's good, when deep down inside we're really struggling. We need to recognize what's happening inside and say, hey, I'm struggling. Would you please pray for me? Or maybe sometimes we need to ask for help or ask for counsel. I believe this vulnerability, though, being vulnerable will help us to be able to deepen our relationships and to become closer one to another. You know, a lot of times when people are in those battles and they ignore them, or they get into the blaming game, blame the other one, and they fail to really hold on to God and seek God for the right answer, for the help that's needed, sometimes it's humility. You know, when we humble our hearts before God, He's able to speak to us and He's able to give us what we need. But sometimes when we get hurt, we get offended, we allow distance to distance in between us. And I wanted to say too that problems normally don't solve themselves. They don't usually fix themselves. We have to be willing to address them and to look at them. So that's my message this evening, is to man up. That's what the Lord challenged me with, and I want to challenge you with the same thing. All of us have strong points in our life. We have good things. And all of us usually have some weak areas in our life that God wants to work on and wants to improve. Be encouraged to recognize that there's battles in growth. When there's conflict, it's an opportunity for spiritual growth to happen. But if I spend a lot of my effort and time on just avoiding conflict at all cost, then I'm going to fail to receive what the Lord has for us. But be encouraged that the Lord does have the answers for us. We just have to seek Him earnestly and call upon Him and believe that He's able to help us, and He'll help us and He'll give us things that we need. I don't think Sister Maxine would probably mind me saying, but her conversation with her last night, she went over and said after 6 weeks, she went to her dad and said, I don't think we're going to make it. And her dad said, you went into this with your eyes open, you get back to it. Something to that effect. You know, a good marriage is not just because the other person's perfect, or because we're perfect and it's a perfect match. It's something that we've got to work on. But you know what? It's a picture of Christ in the church also. And the things that we have to work on in our marriage, many times the same things we work on our relationship with Christ. It's a picture. I remember Brother Chuck teaching at different times. He said, God has given us the physical to help us to understand the spiritual. So I pray the Lord will bless us all tonight to be of good courage, to recognize that even though battles get hot and difficult, God has answers and He has victory for us.